Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to the episode. Welcome to episode 308 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 4th of October, 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at midday Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com Tech Webcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast. And your hosts for today are Andrew, Brad, Steve, and Alex. And our guest is Adam Roberts from Filterzilla.camera.
Hey, how are you, Steve?
Sorry about that. Did we?
No, we. That's what I was about to say. Did we get some confusion on who's doing the intro?
No, that's cool. I thought I was still on intro, and Steve was on news, but that is cool. Good stuff with the intro there,
yeah.
Steve. And we've got a few people on today, which is great.
We do indeed. And Steve, how's your week been? Let's go to Steve first. And how's your week been, mate?
Pretty great. I managed to watch the announcement of Windows 10. Well, it's a blog. They didn't stream it live, but I did catch that on The Verge, or most of it. And that's about it.
All right, good stuff.
Oh, my router went out, and so I got a new one here. The Nighthawk.
Nice one.
It's still, still.
Nice one. All right, let's go to Andrew Cunningham. Welcome, mate. How's your week been?
Yeah, pretty good, Brad. Pretty good. It's been a busy week. We've had a lot happening over here at our offices. So, there's a lot going on this week. And it's nice weather out in Melbourne.
It is indeed.
And, a lot of opportunities happening. So it's great, and really looking forward to, having a good talk about the Filterzilla app.
Yeah.
And it's great to have Alex Goebel sitting in with us today to have a chat. And,
he's indeed.
It'd be good to see how he's going too.
He's indeed. And welcome, Alex. And how's your week been, mate?
Oh, it's been great. Actually, this is my first week with a new job. Started at Nike on Monday.
Oh, nice. Good stuff, mate. And do you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, it's been great. Team's really good. Job's pretty interesting, so should be good.
Good stuff. All right, we've got Adam Roberts all the way from the UK. Adam, welcome, mate. Appreciate your time for coming on, mate.
Thanks.
And it's pretty late there where you are.
Yeah, it's about 20 past three.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, thank you so much, mate. Appreciate it for coming on.
That's okay.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. We'll try and make you not hang on for too long. Let's get into some news, Andrew, and then we'll get back to have a chat with Adam. If we can do the news. Okay, let's play this first.
We'll play now, and what's that?
We'll play this news intro first.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to cover some news today, and first news story is going to be from Mac Rumors, which is advanced Apple TV remote interface for iOS and Macs. Outlined in Apple patent application, a recent Apple patent application reveals some of the company's efforts looking into ways of improving Apple TV and iTunes desktop experience using iOS. The newly published patent application titled browsing remote content using a native user interface describes a mobile application that could serve as a second screen for connected media devices. And that's the first news story of the day. I guess we're going to talk about it after we get off.
Yeah, let's run through them in one go, Steve, and then we'll speak about it at the end.
Okay, and next one we got is from Wired, which is has to do with TiVo. It's beastly 24 terabytes TiVo Mega, has 8 times the capacity of any other TiVo. And this actually, looking at it, it's got a picture on this website, and it looks the size of 4 rack spaces, which is really huge.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in hoarding TV shows on your TiVo, but not interested in hoarding actual TiVos, consider the TiVo Mega. It costs $5,000. It has 24 terabytes of storage and RAID 5 array. It comes with free TiVo service, however, and it eats chips for lunch. The entire 6 seasons of chips.
He's unbelievable. Now, Steve, who would want that TiVo? Seriously, mate. Who would really want to record a lot of TV? They must record a lot of TV shows. I wouldn't need it.
Remember we had a guest on here, and her job was actually watching TV shows.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
This would be perfect.
That's correctly. Yeah. Yep. Correct. Yep. Definitely.
Somebody who watches a lot of television shows.
Yeah. Definitely, mate. Definitely. I seen a video clip from the TiVo CEO, and he was talking about it. And apparently it's going to be really good.
I mean, it's not going to be for everybody. It's gonna
be for definitely not
applications. Yeah. I'm not sure what, but.
Okay.
Next one is from CNET. No catch, no subscription, SBS On Demand releases 400 free movies. And let me talk to you before I talk about this, Brad. Is this an Australian
news,
right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's in Australia. SBS On Demand putting out 400 free movies that you can watch. And some of the titles are pretty good.
Okay, for people like me in the United States. Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was going to say it's great of SBS to do that. I think they don't get as much publicity, you know, as the main networks over here. So it's great. SBS is kind of one of the private sort of government-run networks over here in Australia. And it's great, you know, if we can get some more people over there watching some of that movie content. They might also stay around for some of the unbiased news and sort of, I guess, you know, a documentary current affair type information, because it's not one of the big commercial channels here. They tend to get the honest word out there, as opposed to some of the bigger ones in Australia, which are run by the newspapers.
Mm. All right. Next.
And next story we got is from Engadget, and this actually kind of is what I'm interested in. Seriously, Dubai police get Google Glass to go with their Lamborghinis.
Unbelievable.
And it's weird
story.
Because I see a picture of a police car, and it's an actual Lamborghini.
Yes, it is indeed. It's unbelievable. Pretty nice car, isn't it? Very nice.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of people are rich over there, so to be able to catch up with the other Lamborghinis, the police also have to have a Lamborghini too, I guess. The story says, if every police force was like Dubai's, they would have to beat back the crowds of recruits on top of having million-dollar Bugatti Veyrons and 350,000 Lamborghini, I can't even say the last word, it's probably Italian, as pursuit cars. Yeah, there we go. Reuters said detectives on the Gulf Force will soon be using Google Glass. The wearable will help cops identify crooks using facial recognition tied to an online database while still keeping their gun hands free. Traffic cops were already getting Glass, and Tiny Emirate has thrown piles of cash at its police force despite a recent recession and relatively low crime rates. Still looking like a cyborg and driving a Lambo, 8-year-old boys everywhere definitely approve. And, this last set of stories I'm going to cover myself. And this one actually has to do with the recent announcement by Microsoft for the upcoming release of Windows 10. And of course, it seems they have decided to skip on the Windows 9 naming, perhaps. And on this version, they're going to be concentrating on business and enterprise. some of the primary features. They're going to bring back the start menu back with customizable live tiles. You're not no longer going to see full screen tile setup for a touch interface. Everything runs in Windows now, even Windows Store apps previously, which were only full screen. You can now run them in windowed mode. You're also going to see snap enhancements up to 4 windows on a screen. Also new is Task View shows all windows and open applications, very similar to what you see in Expose on Mac OS desktop. Also new is the multiple desktop, where you can bring up separate workspaces if you want to separate applications by type or group. Also new is called Continuum. Where basically it's going to be the same operating system look and feel across multiple devices, all the way from desktops to tablets and phones. And those are the new stories for today's Tech Webcast.
Great job, Steve. Jody and Jennifer are away today. They'll be back next week. And Steve, appreciate you doing the news, mate. Appreciate it and doing the intro. Great job.
Thank you.
Great job. Andrew, what's your view on them stories, mate, if you have any views at all?
Yeah, there's a few interesting ones in there, Brad. Microsoft announcing Windows 10. If I'm not mistaken, aren't we using Windows 8 at the moment?
That's what I thought, too. Did they skip 9?
Yes, they did.
Wow, unbelievable.
There you go. And there's also been rumor that Microsoft Windows 10 will be a free product. I don't know if that's rumor or fact or where that sits, but I really hope it is. I think Windows 8, they've killed a lot of their... I was going to say momentum, but they don't even have that. I think a free product to go out there and fix up the I wouldn't call it a virus, but to fix up the problem that Windows 8 has been for consumers would be a really good idea and a good way to keep people who are using Microsoft on that same platform. So I hope they do well with that. And, you know, at the end of the day, Microsoft Windows, this is where it all started. You know, this was one of the first companies that went out there and produce something that was simple and easy for people to use. You know, there's a lot of people in the space now, but, you know, let's not lose our roots. So I hope they can really make a good product there for people who are on the Windows platform. And, yeah, it's interesting with in Dubai, the Lamborghini. I'd seen photos of that, I think, before, some sort of zooped up supercars and things. With, you know, but as we said, they've got to chase, you know, Bugatti Veyrons, and they've got to chase Ferrari Italia 458s and these sorts of things. So they need something under their bonnet that's going to match that sort of thing. In Australia, we have Subaru WRX police cars in a number of places as well, which where they're required. So I think it's great that the police take the tool that they need, you know, in the space where they are.
All right. Any other? Is that all you want to say, Andrew? Is that all you want to say?
Probably. I'll let a few others add right to a couple of the other stories.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Alex? What's your view on them stories, mate?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that I heard on Windows 10 is that they had to skip 9 because apparently application developers were lazy when they coded stuff for Windows like 95, 98 and just did Win 9 and then, you know, wild card or whatever. So... you know, basically apps would have flagged Windows 9 as, you know, Windows 98 or whatever. It would have just been a huge mess. At least that's one of the things that I read. I mean, Windows 8 has been all right, especially with the 8.1, but, you know, I think Microsoft definitely is, you know, under the gun in that space. And they're... they have not been doing very well in the tablet or phone space at all. As far as the Dubai thing, I mean, what do you make of that? Okay, police are going to get Google Glass, you know, a product that isn't very particularly useful yet. All right. And the other interesting thing out of there is the 24 terabyte TiVo Mega. That's a pretty ridiculous, but I guess you know, if you have a need for it and the money,
unbelievable,
you know, go ahead.
I think with the Google Glass, it's not a product until it's got a battery that goes for longer than an hour and a half. It's a toy.
Yep. What's that, the TiVo?
The Google Glass.
Oh, the Google Glass. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't see Robert Scoble wearing them anymore, Andrew. I've noticed. Nope. Not for a while.
I don't see anyone wearing them anymore.
No, it's a bit.
I've got a lot of people through my, as you would, you know, both of you. I've got a lot of people through my newsfeed who have Google Glass, and the majority of them say they've put them away because the amount of, you know, crap that you collect for wearing them doesn't make it worthwhile wearing them for the benefit that it gives you.
It's unbelievable how people were raving on about them, aren't they? Like, you know, the
I still think they're a great product and a great concept. I just think Google have dropped the mark in the way that they actually, you know, have done it. The Explorer program has gone for about, you know, 4 years too long to start with. There's just a lot of things that, for a company which prides itself on marketing and brand and these sorts of things, you know, they couldn't have got it worse if they tried.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, I think it's a factor of the technology being probably 5 years before it's ready to be really productized. And, you know, they tried to do something that was cool and innovative and try to get out of ahead of perhaps where they should have.
That's true. I mean, maybe as a society, we do need things like the watch first to teach us about the benefits of wearables, you know, have a bit of a softer move into it. But that's a really, really valid point, Alex.
Yeah, and I mean, even there, you see with, like, the Apple Watch, apparently it only has, you know, a battery life of a day, and that's just not very useful.
It'd be interesting, when the actual battery dies, one thing I'm not sure of is, does the watch physically just switch off, or does it still actually have, like, a little battery in there, so it's still a watch?
Yeah, no clue.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
And what about you, Steve? What's your view on them stories, mate?
Of course, I covered Windows 10 for my own show, so this one looks much better done. Windows 8, from what I understand, underneath the hood, it was great. It was supposedly faster than Windows 7, but the interface was really hard and kind of clunky. It kind of alienated its current consumers and also the enterprise business market as well. So that's why they're focusing on mostly on enterprise and business, because that's where they make most of their money. It's not really through consumer desktop software per se, the operating system. So, but it looks like they're really going in the right direction with a lot of these changes. So this one, I think, is going to be a step up from Windows 7. Well, definitely step up from Windows 8, that's for sure. Well,
yeah, definitely. Definitely. I just want to mention something that I watched the other night on TV, and just a quick plug for Channel 31, the Antenna Awards. They've been going now for about 20 years now.
Yeah, they have.
And I just want to give a quick plug to Channel 31, a great show, great event, and yeah, really good, really cool guests, and some of the main celebrities have started on Channel 31, and they've got out on TV shows and stuff now.
Yeah, there have. There've been a number of people who've started on Channel 31 and sort of worked their way up, which is great. You know, it's a community channel here in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, and it's great that, you know, we really hope that they can stay around, but there's a lot of political pressure to move Channel 31 onto the internet purely as an internet channel, as opposed to being through TV, to basically release some spectrum for more commercial things of, you know, people selling Tupperware and that sort of stuff. So hoping that doesn't happen.
Get rid of them channels, I reckon. Get rid of them shopping channels and keep all the, you know.
Well, keep a shopping channel, but we don't need four of them.
Oh, no, we don't need four. No, just keep one. Keep the TVN one. That's probably one of the best ones, TVN. But, don't need four. All right, Adam Roberts, welcome to the show, mate.
Hiya.
How are you?
Good.
Tell us about your app. Right. Well, firstly, give us a rundown on what you do. Tell us about yourself first, and then give us a quick rundown on the app.
Yeah, I mean, I've been coding since I was in primary school.
Okay, cool.
I spent a good while doing web development and stuff like that while I was working for Unreal, and then I've moved on from there and decided to have my own startup. So I've been working on probably this project for kind of like camera phone for around 2 years now. So
yep.
What I've got in this app here, all the filters are in real time, including the filter previews.
Nice.
So as you're scrolling aloft, you, rather than seeing the picture of a duck or something like that, you know, after you take the picture,
yep,
it actually shows you live what the thumbnails are going to look like. And after you've taken the photo, you can apply multiple layers of filters. So you can go, you can scroll through and pick one, and then you can see how that looks. If you press the plus button, it then applies that on top. You can't go back and re-edit them right now, but I'm looking at doing that in the future. And it's got the Avery photo editor in there, so you can pull that up and you can do some other edits in there, and then you know, you can apply that as well. So it's quite. We've got quite a bit of features in there at the moment. I'm going to be adding quite a lot to this soon.
A lot of new features and stuff to the app.
Yeah, I think Brad's just reported that he's got a problem on iPhone.
Yeah, I do. Plus. Yeah, I do. I got the iPhone 6. I've just downloaded it, and it's asked me to have access to Facebook. But when I do that, I'll let it okay, and then it just keeps closing on me.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, Andrew, have you got any questions for Adam at all, mate?
I've just had a quick look at the product and haven't had any issues. It's a really cool-looking product. So you can basically filter, and some of the filters are really interesting. Like, I know you can get filters on, you know, other products as well, but you know, you've got one that's a faded film filter, you've got 1962, so there's some really creative filters in there. Did you actually come up with some of those yourself?
Yeah, it's a combination. There's an SDK GPU image. I took the core of that, and that had a bunch of filters in there, and I basically pulled through some Adobe tone curves. So I've loaded more of them into that. They weren't part of the open source SDK, so I've pulled them in, and I've done a bit of combination on there. The aged film one, that's a sepia with a tone curve applied, so it makes it look a bit warmer than a regular sepia.
Okay, and look, you can also do things like red dye removal and, you know, draw on the images and stuff like that, which a lot of the people love to do before they sort of, you know, ship it off. I mean, you can forward the photos then through to, you know, Facebook or other places as well. So it's a really nifty, clean little camera app. So it's, really, really great. It's definitely worth having a look at. And I believe we have a few that we're going to be giving away today on the show.
Some codes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. There's someone, I remember there being a, when I launched Camerific last, there was a problem with it crashing in, I think it was New Zealand. I think there's some, I need to get access to it, put a test build on your device. What iPhone model do you have, Alex?
What's that, Adam?
I have the 5.
The 5, okay. Yeah, I can't use the app because it keeps closing on me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even download it because I'm on iOS 7 still.
Mm. So I actually bought it, so then, yeah. Okay.
So you were talking about the filters and that you were using it? Sorry.
Alex can't use it because he's on a different iOS. But Andrew, have you got the app on your phone, mate?
Yeah, I was playing around with it, and it seems to, I think, on my other phone, it seems to be okay. But I think it just depends on, obviously every phone is different and things like that. And, you know, this is a new app. When did the app come out, actually?
It came out today.
Not today.
Well, it's come out today, so that's fantastic.
That's good, yeah.
This is basically the first time that we're getting some PR out there, and it's great. You know, it's a really cool, fun app, and it does some really feature-rich things. And certainly as apps are built and are developed, we go through and we work through any issues and things like that that we, you know, find with them, and, you know, we make it better so that it's something that the community can really use and embrace.
What device have you got it running on?
Me, I've got on the iPhone 6.
Okay, cool.
iPhone 6, iOS 8.2, whatever it's called.
So it doesn't sound like it's device specific.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah, just open it and then it just closed on me. Steve, any questions for Adam?
Oh, sure. Now, since you developed this app, I are you like a professional photographer? You do it for a hobby? So, you know, when you develop the app, you know how, in relation to how you would, you know, develop it. So do you have any photography experience or using the phone?
No, I mean, I worked in R&D at Honeo in the a security camera. So we were in, like, video departments, but I had some experience there with creating some camera capture stuff for video cameras and frame selection stuff for opticians. It's embedded where you can put on different glasses and take pictures and then choose one. So I've had some experience with video capture and stuff like that, but this is... It's just been time, really, and just trying different things and seeing what looks good and what doesn't. But I've had friends to ask who are, you know, professional photographers that can, when I say what the hell is this, and they go, oh, cool, okay, that's what that is. So there's there's obviously points that are reach limits from.
So you got input from your photographer friends that way, you know. Obviously, they probably, you know, maybe do it a whole lot more. I'm not sure, but, you know, it's great. Well, it's good to get feedback from your suggestions or maybe what they're looking for when you're developing it, or even possible future features or something like that.
Yeah, and, of course.
What kind of filters do you have? I didn't have a chance. I just found out today. I didn't have a chance to download it yet. So what kind of filters do you have on it?
They're mostly tone curves. We've got some sepia. What I'm going to do on the next release is have an option to have like a pre-filter tone curve that gets applied across all of the filters. So effectively, I think I've got somewhere between 4 to 6 different options there. So if you do that, then it'll kind of increase the amount of filters that, you know, that you can choose from, maybe up to a couple of hundred.
So this is before you take the actual picture, right?
Sorry?
I think you mentioned this is before you take the picture, then you can set it up and then...
Yeah, you can choose the filter first, and then you take the photo, and then after the photo appears, it shows you the filter that you've chosen, but then you can select a different one. So if it doesn't look how you expected to do with that filter, you can then select a different one, and when you've picked that one, you can apply that, and you can choose like maybe 3 or 4 different ones.
That's so pretty cool.
So you can if you want a vignette applying, then you can just pick that or.
Yeah, because a lot of times you don't know ahead of time what it may look like in that condition, or so you can like filter through the different filters beforehand. That way you don't have to like delete it and then take another picture with another filter. So yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's quite unique on it, I mean, I added the manual ISO adjustments in there, but you've also got a torch brightness setting, so rather than relying on the flash, you can set the brightness of the torch and then adjust the ISO to get like the perfect lighting in the room, and then you can take the picture and you know it's not, the camera's not going to flash. So
Did Apple release like I think some new APIs for iOS 8 for camera, right? So that gives you more options.
For the ISO and shutter speed and some other options as well. And also you can retrieve more information from what the actual camera is, the actual hardware.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. All right.
What made you choose to develop it for iOS 8 instead of also making it compatible with iOS 7?
iOS 7, and then I added the ISO thing and put the that kind of blurred see-through view on there. So for now, I've just released it for iOS 7, but I will. I've put it on iOS 8, but I will be on the probably next update or the one after that. I'll be making it compatible via iOS 7. So it's just a temporary thing just to get it to the store quick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what would you say is one of the benefits that you have with this app over a few of the competitors? And I guess just looking forward, what are some of the things that you want to bring into the app or that you recognize, that's kind of not there at the moment that the market might really enjoy?
Yeah. I would guess one of the benefits is that you can see what the filters, you got a live preview of F and even the thumbnail, so that gives you user experience.
So basically as you take the photo, you can just flick straight through and have a look at what the photo will look like with each of the filters that are in the in the system. So I guess it's easy to think, oh, that might look nice, but if you can flick through, have a look and see which one looks the best or represents what you want your photo to look like, that's a really great experience, just to be able to flick through and do that without having to sort of save it and then go through, save it again, have it a look, which is a bit clunky.
Yeah, there's liquid rescale is a feature that I'm going to be including soon, which I don't know if you've seen that. It's a scene carving, allows you to crop an image. It crops the width of an image and effectively it makes it, say you've got like a large scene and there's repeating parts of the image, and they say that's like water, you can take a widescreen photo and then you can crop it down to say like an Instagram size image, and it won't skew the aspect ratio, but it'll remove parts of the image that it thinks it doesn't need. So it'll keep the people that are in the scene, but it'll get rid of some of the water. So it's a different way of resizing the images. It's built into Photoshop. I think there's some desktop applications that use it as well.
Sounds good, Adam. Adam, have you made any other iPhone apps besides this? Is your first one, or have you made any other apps?
Yeah, I made. There was one that I made prior to this, which was Camerific, but I eventually pulled it off the store.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good answer, mate. All right. Where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you any more questions about the app?
You can contact me on. I've got a new Twitter account there.
Okay.
Filterzilla. Or yep. You can email me at adam@enigmaticflare.co.uk.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. How is it?
So the Twitter you've got there is at Filterzilla. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And you've been good enough, Adam, to allow our listeners 5 free accounts to download the app. Now, it's usually a few bucks to download it. So if you want to get a copy of the app for free and have a look at it and use it and really run your photos through some of these funky filters that Adam has in there, all you need to do is send a tweet through to Filterzilla, at Filterzilla, and just say what it is you are looking forward to using the app for. What photos do you want to take if you've got a trip coming up, or do you take a lot of, you know, family photos? So how is it that the app is going to help you out? And Adam will jump on and send out to the first five people an account, and yep. You can download that app for free, which is very you know, generous of you, Adam.
Yes, thank you, Adam. And Adam, by the way, what part of the UK are you in?
We're actually, well, my company's registered down in London, but I'm based up in the northwest.
All right, cool.
On the Wirral.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. And how's the weather over at the moment? Is it cold or getting hot or?
It's not really anything really. It's just it's not hot or it's not freezing.
All right, cool, mate. Good stuff. All right. All right, appreciate it for being on. Thanks for being on. I know it's late over there and you want to go to bed, and thanks for taking the time for to talking to us, Adam.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. All right, Andrew, that was Adam Roberts.
Yeah, fantastic. And it looks like he's got a great little app there. And I know you guys have had a couple little issues using the app, but it's one of those things. Yep. As something new comes out, it always takes a bit of time to really get that you know, around and get that happening, and you know, that's just a part of the process. So
yeah, definitely
feel free to go down there though. It's a fantastic little app, and have a play with it and see how you go. So if you want a free copy, just tweet out to at Filterzilla, and first five people who do that and say what it is they want to take a photo of, we'll get a free copy from Adam.
All right, we've got 10 more minutes before we wrap up. Let's go to Alex Scoble for a minute. And Alex, what have you been up to now? Have you checked out the new iPhone at all, and what's your view on it?
No, I haven't looked at it yet. I've been reading about the other problems that are popping up with Apple. Apparently, the latest thing is Hairgate or something like
that. Beardgate. which you're not sporting the beard anymore, are you?
Yeah, I actually am. Yeah. yeah, I mean, just it seems like Apple is definitely getting the short end of the press stick with the latest phones.
Mm, mm.
Well, actually, have you heard of the gap gate with the Note 4?
The what gate?
The gap gate with the new Samsung.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that in the video the other day. Yeah, there's a lot of gap in it.
No,
yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, whenever Samsung has a problem, you know, nobody talks about it.
Yeah, he was showing you, like, there's a gap on the side of the phone in this new phone. There's this, like, a gap that you can put, like, a piece of paper in it.
Can I just say one thing? How petty is it that now we're worrying about, you know, a gap on the side of the phone that you can put a bit of paper in?
That's unbelievable.
We're worried about this phone catches my facial hair. Like, are the devices that we're buying that good these days that these are the qualms we're getting to? It used to be, back in the day, my Dell notebook catches fire.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough. Like, we're getting pretty soft now, aren't we? Like, devices are getting pretty good.
Well, I do see a little issue maybe if there is a gap with maybe water. I mean, it's not going to be waterproof. It may be water resistant or dirt getting in there, sorting something out maybe. Of course, only time will tell. And obviously, they're probably fixing the issue right now.
Well, I think that's on all of the new phones, Steve, on the Samsung ones.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, apparently that's what the guy said that's in the video. I was watching some Android video. It was on there, some Android channel.
Interesting.
That was doing an unboxing of it.
So, Alex, Mr. Nike, I believe you have started a new position this week working down at Nike Land. How's that going for you?
It's going great. The team is really cool, and you know, we're doing interesting things. I'm a senior Linux sysadmin.
Mm-hmm. And so just you're trying a security person by trade, aren't you? Like, security is one of your fortes, isn't it?
It used to be, but no. Now, lately, I've been more focusing on DevOps and Linux admin stuff. The problem with security is, you know, it's important, but mostly it's like compliance and auditing, and you're never really doing anything. So I basically made the switch in the last couple of years.
Okay.
You know, working with Red Hat and Puppet and.
So you're doing back-end stuff down there for Nike, as in running the web stuff, or sort of running internal stuff, or just whatever needs to be done at the time?
Yeah, it's mostly on the infrastructure side.
Okay, and that's been pretty good to date. So the big question that I have is, do you have to wear a pair of Nike running shoes when you go to work, or can you walk in with your black polish shoes, or is it like strict thing, and do they have vending machines where you just get your free shoes out in the morning?
Yeah, so pretty much as long as you're not wearing a competitor's shoes or shirts or anything. So you definitely don't want to show up to work in like Adidas or Puma or Reebok or whatever.
So that'd be just like, I quit this stupid job if you do something like that, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you get any free stuff from Nike, Alex?
I think you do get some free stuff, but I've only been there a week, so I haven't gotten anything yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I do get visits to the employee store, but I haven't gotten that.
Oh, sweet. Either. Yeah, I don't mind Nike. Do you like Nike, Andrew? I don't mind a bit of Nike.
Yeah,
running.
Yeah. It's good quality stuff. You know, they are as good as any in the business, I think. And if you have a look at them as a company, they've really done a lot of cool stuff back in the day. You know, Nike had Jordans and all these sorts of things. So they've been around, and they have a great product.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Actually, talking about Nike, how about the Nike Fuel Band? Or is that what you call it? Do you guys have it right? And is that still active development?
From what I understand, they're not actively developing the hardware, but the software they basically are still working on. And I think their push is not so much making the hardware themselves, but basically, creating the software and allowing companies to use that in devices that they want to sell.
So it's mostly like a wearable type of thing for fitness, right? Using that, I guess, software.
Yes, the Fuel Band is a wristband that has like a watch and various sensors in it that track your movements throughout the day, and it can also be used when you sleep. But and from what I can tell, the sleep stuff isn't that very very mature. It's not as good as some of the other products out there in that regard.
How about the development also for the health book, the new thing for the iOS 8? Is that going to be integrated too?
Yeah, that I'm not sure.
I've actually been using that app, Steve. Actually, we one of the apps just got an update the other day. And the health app is really good. I've been using an app called Human, and that's integrated into the health app.
Oh, okay.
And it's really great.
Yeah, okay. it's a really cool space.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you should get it, Stephen, if you walk a lot and stuff.
What was the name of it again?
Human.
Human? Okay. Mm. Yeah, I want to try out actually a couple of health apps.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting with the new iPhone 6, and obviously Android have had some of this stuff for a while with the some of the things that the phones will do, just with the right apps built into them. Some of these wearable companies, I guess, need to be a bit careful because the phones themselves are becoming the wearable, and it's just the app that's built in. So, Nike Fuel Band, great product, and it's been around for a little while. I just wonder if they've sort of backed off some of the R&D and things because the phones are doing a lot of the stuff, inherently built in now anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Do you use any of the health apps, Android, on your phone, mate?
I don't as yet, but I will be very soon.
Okay, cool.
I'm aware that they're there. It's not a part of my program as yet, but it will be very soon. I'm really looking forward to having a good look. Nowhere near as much as I should. I mean, it's quite difficult. I've got a 4.5-month-old baby, and I catch the train into the city each day to work. I mean, it's a 10-minute walk each way from the train to the train to the office and all that. So I do a little bit of walking. I mean, Melbourne is very much a walking city, as you're well aware.
Yeah, but, definitely.
Everyone walks everywhere.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I probably do a bit of walking, but, not enough, not as much as I need to to trim down a little bit and
definitely
get things organized. Summer's coming up, Brad.
It is indeed. I can't wait for summer. Did you enjoy the summer, Andrew, or is it too hot for you?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, it is hot for me. I was born in March, so it's sort of the end of summer, but I don't mind summer. It's okay. It's just spring is probably my favorite season, the season that we're in now, just because it's beautiful weather. There's really good things happening in Melbourne in spring, and I quite like it. It's a nice turning season. It's kind of like just before things start to really heat up.
All right. Let's do another. Can we give another plug to someone? We went and had some lunch at a restaurant in Hardware Lane called Big Boy Barbecue.
Yeah, we did. We did indeed. That was fantastic.
Great food. Do you want to mention them and what sort of food they sell there, Andrew, at all?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I went over to Austin, Texas in March, and the guys out there in Austin do a fantastic barbecue, as our American listeners would be well aware. And Big Boy Barbecue is trying to replicate that right here in Melbourne on Hardware Lane.
Yep.
And I had a two-meat burger. It's kind of... It's not just a breast of chicken or something like that. It's sort of pulled, so it's all just pulled away.
It's all cut up in that.
Yeah, so it's sort of like shredded almost. Yeah. And they've got the hickory barbecue sauces and things like that. And really fantastic thing that they've got going on out there. And it's got that smell as soon as you walk in. It just smells like barbecue.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a great flavor. I mean, Melbourne has so many different flavors and little laneways and nooks and crannies and corners and these sorts of things. Yeah. So, if you are in Melbourne, Big Boy Barbecue, fantastic. Yep. And head down there and have a look.
And, try out some of the food. Yeah, some of the chips are great and really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, after that, I actually went back to the office and we're just packaging up our Rewind app. We've got a new version of that coming out, Brad.
Sweet.
Which has got friends and following. So you've got your full profiles. You can follow people. And you've been having a look at that for a while.
Yes, I have.
Just this last week, we got written up. We were on Product Hunt this week as a featured product. Mm-hmm. We were written up in Tech in Asia.
Yep,
we've
seen that one.
We've been written up by Yahoo this week.
Oh, nice.
And we've had about two or three other write-ups. And things are starting to motor along. So, the challenge with any startup, though, is even though we're getting traction, we're getting write-ups, we're doing all the right things, we are looking for some funding and finance to keep the thing together, keep the team together, which is a challenge for any startup, particularly one that's in Melbourne, Australia,
exactly,
which is on the other side of the planet as far as a lot of the cool kids in California are concerned.
So if anyone out there wants to support Andrew's app or give him some money, let him know, and we'll be happy to take it off your hands.
Come and talk to us. Rewind app, rwndapp.com. So visit rewindapp.com, have a look at it. We put up a new website this week as well.
Yep.
And it's a bit funky and a bit different. And be sure to download it and have a look. Okay.
And what about Zafo, Andrew? A lot of people have been asking about Zafo. Is Zafo going to be no longer around, or is that going to keep going?
We're still cooking along well with Zafo, actually. We've got a couple of opportunities to do a few things with that product, which is going well. So it's a full video-based social platform. And, it's tricky. It's hard. We've got good people on there. But without a marketing budget, it's really difficult to do as much as you can, with a product. So
definitely.
It's just one of the challenges, but we'll get there.
All right.
So you're working with Jason Nunley on both of those things, right?
Yeah, correct. Jason works with us. He puts in about 25 hours a week for us as a part-timer stateside. So we've got a really good team for what we're doing, and Jason... We connect with him every day on Skype for about 40 minutes and talk about what we're doing, where we're going. He tries to connect us with some people over there in the States, and we're trying to connect with venture capital and these sorts of things. We've had a couple million Rewind loops now, which is pretty good for a product that's, a few million loops for a product that's only, less than a month old. And Jason's been really fantastic for us. He's great at pulling the team together and extracting as much as he can out of them, but in a positive manner, of course.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and I know that Chris Voss is a fan of the product as well.
Yeah,
Chris Voss loves it. We talked to him a bit here and there, and he has actually come onto our advisory board for the product quite recently, which I can now mention. I can also say that Warren Whitlock is a part of our advisory board. Joel Comm is a part of our advisory board. So we've got some really cool people who are coming on and starting to see some of the traction, see some of the benefits of what we're doing. And, it's exciting times.
I got a question for you, Daniel. I hope it's okay to ask. Now, if you didn't come across these guys, where would you be now, today, with this app? Where would Zafo be today if these guys weren't around? And where would you be?
I'd be probably in the same position as any other entrepreneur or company that tries to do everything themselves in a cardboard box. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Jason, Chris, these sorts of people, you know, dealing with, you know, any of these kind of guys, such as yourself, Alex, your brother, Alex, Robert Scoble, has, you know, he did a Facebook post a little while back on Rewind. You know, there's some really good people who I've been fortunate to come across,
yep.
You know, in my time in technology, and all of them have an impact on trying to get to the final mile, trying to get a product out there at market that works. So every single person who's been a part of it, it's, you know, their time's appreciated. And people are paid for it and some people aren't, and they just do it because they're trying to help a team and a product get to market.
Because I remember the first day you showed me when I met in Melbourne, the city, with the Zafo app, and you bought this really big, huge book, and you that beginning of the new app for
that
Zafo.
Would have been about a year and a half ago, Brad.
Yeah.
I probably showed you the app in a book.
You did?
A bunch of screenshots.
You did?
And I said to you, one day, my fellow friend, this will be an app.
Yep, and look where you are today, mate, and, you know, you've come a long way.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's, you know, it's funny. Sometimes we're looking for what we can do tomorrow, not what we've done today.
Yeah, so right.
Yeah, it's. I appreciate the gesture there, Brad. But you know, we've got to keep moving.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, keep going.
A lot of ideas we've got for the future.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Andrew, let's wrap up. What's your final view of the show, mate? And where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you any questions about what you do and any apps?
Sure. No, it's fantastic to have Adam on and hear about FilterZilla.
Yep.
And it's a great pleasure to have you on, Brad, and have a chat through.
Yeah.
And obviously, Alex, great to have you on the show as well and have a chat. We're always sort of, you know, on Facebook and messaging and stuff like that. I think, you know, it's really good to have a chat on here. And if anyone wants me, jump on Twitter or Facebook. I am at Cunning Drew on those platforms, and feel free to download the Zafo or Rewind app, RWND.
Definitely. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Alex Scoble, what about you, mate?
Yeah, I'm at IT Blogger on Twitter, and, you know, Alex Scoble on Facebook.
All right, cool, man. Cool. Have you got an Xbox One yet?
No, I went 100% PC gaming.
Oh, you're PC. Okay, you're doing PC. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Yep. All right, good stuff, mate. Who else? Steve, what about you, mate? What's your final view of the show and that sort of thing?
I really like this show with Adam and Alex.
Yeah.
And talking about Alex, I'm actually a long-time Linux user. I guess going on 16, 17 years or something like that.
Wow.
But, recently, I've been Mac a lot because I got a broadcast with it, so... But I probably need to go back to it and look at some of the new things out there. And you can find me on Twitter as Cheddarbox_live.
Okay, I mentioned your website real quick, Steve, before we go.
Yeah, it's probably been up 3 or 4 weeks. And I could probably also tell you the – I haven't memorized the address there. It's linuxcooldude.wix.com/ Chatterbox-live. So
okay.
I probably need to make a little thing for the video portion of the Tech Webcast, so don't have to say those out a lot. For an audio podcast, it'd be easier. But
yeah, let's let's talk about the next week on the show. Maybe you can bring up a video of it.
Yeah. I'm going to try and make a video, so the video portion, I'll just flash in the screen and be easier, yeah.
Yep, definitely. All right, thanks for being on, guys. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Adam, for being on. It's really late out in the UK. Unbelievable. Don't know who does it. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This has been great.
Enough, but...
Yep.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech webcast, ha, ha. Tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer. Boom!